Today we are doing Samach. We are finishing the parak. You'll notice, I've already kind of prefaced it, the end of this parak, which was quite a long parak and quite an intense parak and quite a one of the most basic parakim of Shas. As you can see, we got to all sorts of issues. The end of this parak sounds like the end of a masechet. Okay, it's very interesting. It's got the same sort of genre as we've seen in some of the end of Masechtot, which maybe the rabbis viewed this as a whole unit and needed kind of closure to it. Okay, we were in the Mishnah. I'll just review the Mishnah for a minute. On Nun Terem Abet, Lo Yiftach Adam Chalonotav L'Chatzara Shutafin. Okay, which seems to mean, again, a few different interpretations. You can't open more windows into a chatzir that you share. Remember, we saw in the Gemara that obviously, even if it's a chatzir of your friends, the chidush is even if it's a chatzir that you share already, we still can't because the guy could say, well, I want privacy from within your house, or if you open this window within your house, you could see into my house. Whereas if we share a chatzir, I know I only need to worry about privacy in the chatzir itself when you're either in the chatzir itself or when you're in the chatzir with me. Okay, the second case was lakach bayit b'chatzir acheret, loiv techenu b'chatzir shutafin. If you buy a house in a different chatzir, you can't open an exit or a petach from there into, let's say, it backs on this chatzir where you own. By the way, some of the mafreshim say this seems to be unnecessary because we already, it's kind of included in the first one. So anyway, it's a question they ask and answer. Bana aliyal gabei beito lo yiftachen al chatzir shutafin. Ela im ratza bonei et hacheder lefnimi beito bonei aliyal gabei beito upotcha letoch beito. Today we're going to see a little more in detail what exactly this is. But it means that the guy wants to build an attic, or an extra floor, a loft, on top of his house. He cannot have it open into the chatzir, the shared chatzir. What should he do? He should build a house in his house where the attic can kind of open up into that house. And from there, they can walk through his house and out through the chatzir, and that's okay. So we're going to talk today about why exactly that's okay. Before we get to that, we just have a story at the end of the daf, four lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanan, Ma'aseh ve'adam achad shepatach chalonav l'chatzar shutafin. He opened windows into a chatzar shutafin, which according to the Mishnah, you can't do. Now it doesn't say in the Mishnah, what if you did? Right? So he did it already. So, Balifne Rabbi Ishmael, Bar Rabbi Yossi, Amar lo hechzakta b'ni hechzakta. Listen, you did it. Your neighbors didn't complain. So even though you're not allowed to do it, but since you did it and nobody complained, you already have a chazaka on these windows, and therefore it's okay. Right here, even the Rashbam says, even immediately you would get a chazaka. Okay, if you didn't complain immediately, you would have a chazaka there. However, Balifne Rabbi Chia, but then he brought the case before Rabbi Chia, Amar, Yagatu Patachta, I think it's Tiga, let me see, Yagatu Aleph, Upatachta Lecha, okay, so Yagatu Patachta Lecha.
It's Lech.
Oh, sorry, thank you. Yagatu Patachta, Lech Yagau Stone. Okay, what does he say? You toiled and you made this effort to open the windows. Now make an effort to close the windows. Okay, you have to wonder why he went to Rabbi Ishmael. He told him yes, and then he went to somebody else to say no. Yeah, was the note?
The note suggests that it was the neighbors who went to Rabbi Chia, and which they had a right to do because they weren't with him when he went before Rabbi Huda. So they went and they Rabbi Ishmael. So they went and
yeah, but that doesn't make sense with what Rabbi Chia said to them, because Rabbi Chia says Yagata, and
they might have brought him.
They might have. It does sound strange, but yeah. in other words, because in each case the person is talking directly to the person who built the window. It sounds like he went before, but it could be. I mean, you're right, but the only way it really makes sense is that the other side brought it before him. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman. Let's say you close the window of somebody else. Okay? If you do it and he doesn't complain, then la'altar habichazaka, she'ein adam asui she'sotmim oro b'fanav v'shotek. Now here the reason adds an added thing that it didn't say in the halacha, which is it has to be b'fanav. In other words, if you close up your neighbor's window, you block it off, and he's there and he doesn't protest, then we can assume that it's okay with him. Okay, now the question here becomes, do you need, and it's why possibly would you be doing this? It could be that the neighbor sold you rights to the window. Okay, and therefore you could do with it what you want. So the question becomes here, and that's why he didn't complain, because it must be you have rights to it. Question becomes, do you need, just like with any chazakah, do you need a ta'ana? Do you need to come with a claim and say, well, like let's say you close the window, and then the neighbor doesn't complain immediately, but down the road he starts to complain about it, and you say, but look, I have a chazakah. You didn't complain right away. I now have a chazakah on that window. Is it enough to say that, or do you need to actually bring a claim and say, well, he sold me rights to the window? And if you're not willing to say he sold me rights to the window, then maybe you don't have, maybe then your chazakah wouldn't count. So there's a machloket among the mafreshim whether that would be the case or not. My time, so if you take a house in a different chatzer, you can't open it into the chatzer shutafin, into a shared courtyard that you share with other people. My time, mipnesha marbeh lehem etaderech. This doesn't sound like the way the pshat sounds, right? Marbeh lehem etaderech sounds like he makes them walk a long way. That's not what it means. It means he's adding people, marbeh milashav riboy of population, into the chatzer. Right? That chatzir was expecting to have a population of, let's say, four houses. If you now open a house that backs into the chatzir, which didn't have an entrance to that chatzir, and you open it up, you're going to increase traffic in the chatzir, and that's not allowed. So now they say, wait a minute. If we're worried about increased traffic, then there's a different case in the Mishnah, which implies that you can do something which would increase traffic into the chatzir. What's that? Emaseifa ela imratza bone tachedir lifnim mi beto. Right? What do? If you want to build a second story, what can you do? Well, you can't have it exit directly into the chatzer, because that's going to affect the privacy of the people in the chatzer, but you can have it exit through your house, and then they go out of your house. Now, that's going to obviously increase traffic. If my house was built to have X number of meters, and now I add more meters to my house, and I rent it out to somebody else, I'm going to increase traffic. So what do they say here? Amar Rav Huna, my cheder shechalku b'shnayim, umay aliya aptai. What does it mean here? It says you have to write, you build a room in your house, and then you have the attic and exit into that room, and from there into your house. So what do they say all of a sudden? We're not talking about, okay, this goes back to variances and all sorts of things you ask from the area. If I split a room in half, I don't need any permission to do that. But if I want to add more increase building space into my house, I want to add more meters, I want to add an attic, I need to get approval for that. So that's what they're saying. They're basically saying it's when you added a room, meaning you split a room in half and added an additional space there where it was a unique designated space. And the aliyah means you split, let's say you had a tall house and you split the levels into two, where you made two very short levels, okay, two short stories. So you're not actually adding any increased living space in your house in theory. You know, so now they say, well, it's still, you're making space for more people, right? So there's a bit of a debate about what exactly is happening. What somebody says is sort of like a growing family, okay, where, you know, I have this in my house where, you know, slowly we took one room and we blocked it, you know, a hallway, we blocked it up and made a room, and then we took another room and we split it in half, right? So you're just making more space for the people already living there, where they each end up with a little bit more private space, but it's still within the space of the house. Others say that maybe you were doing this just for storage purposes, and their proof or their support for it is that if you're going to rent out the space to someone else, who in their right mind would rent out space to someone who's going to always have to exit through their house? And so it makes sense if you're building an aliyah and it exits outside, and then people will just have their own separate entrance.
We did that.
You did that. Okay. But it's not common. It's definitely not the most common thing that people would build an area where someone would rent out a space and walk through their house all the time, and therefore more likely that we're talking about for storage purposes, in which case it won't increase the traffic. New Mishnah. Lo yiftach adam l'chatzar shutafin petach keneged petach. Okay, if your house is opposite your neighbor's entranceway and you don't have an entranceway there, you can't open an entranceway there, because what's going to happen? You're opening your door at the exact same time your neighbor's opening the door, and you can see right into his house. Okay, or he can see right into, right? In other words, right, I guess we're worried about if you open a petach, then you'll be able to see into his house. It'll affect his privacy. V'chalon keneged chalon, and a window opposite another window. Haya katan lo yasenu gadol, echad lo yasenu shnayim. If the petach was small, you can't make a bigger opening. If the you have one petach, you can't make two petachim. We'll see, not exactly out of one petach, but we'll talk about it. We'll see in the Gemara how they understand that. Echad lo yaseinu shnayim. Aval poteach hu l'reshut harabim petach keneged petach v'chalom keneged chalom. Okay, what does this mean? I assume, it's not 100% clear to me, but I assume this means that if your house and my house are opposite each other, but in between is Rashid Arabim, and we both face the Rashid Arabim, then obviously I can create a petach opposite yours, because in any case, your petach is opposite Rashid Arabim. It faces Rashid Arabim, and everyone can see in. Likewise, chalom keneged chalom. Hayat katan oseh oto gadol, ve'echad oseh oto shnayim. And likewise, if it was small, you can make it bigger, and if it was one, you can make it into two. Mina hanemile, where do we get this from, that you have to be cautious with your, with being conscious of the other's privacy needs? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, de Amar Kra, vayisa Bil'am et eina, vayarek Yisrael shochen l'shvatav. Right, so Bilam looks and he sees Yisrael shochen l'shvatav. What does that mean? Ma ra'ah? Okay, according to the drasha here, ra'ah she'ein pitcheo alehem mechuvanim zel azeh. Right, he saw the way we live. What?
Same drasha.
Right, very famous drasha. That he saw that people are careful, respectful of others. Amar ru'uyin halalu she'tishreh alehem shechina. Okay, because of that, ru'uyim she'tishreh shechina. Haya katan lo yasenu gadol. Okay, the first thing you have to know is a law that we learned previously, which is that if somebody has, okay, my house, okay, here are two houses that open up into a common chatzer. Okay, here's your door, here's my door, okay, I'll put them not opposite each other. Now, if this is my door, let's actually put it, my door goes inside, right, this is my door. I have, now the question is, who owns all this space in the chatzer? It's all shared, right? Except for, do you remember this? Except for four amot in front of your door. Okay? You have a four, I think it's four by four, yeah. Four amot by four amot, space in front of your door. Now, depending on how big your door is, if your door is four amot or less, then you have four amot by four amot. If your door is eight amot, then you get four amot by eight amot. In other words, if you have a very wide door, so you have the entire space in front of the door extending out four amot. So let's say this would be 8 by 4, and let's say this is 2, and here you get a space of 4 by 4. Okay? So that's going to be relevant to understanding what we're talking about here, about echad lo yasenu shnayim or katan lo yasenu gadol. Haya katan lo yasenu gadol. Sava Rami bar Chama lemeimar, bar arba, if it was katan like arba, lo lishvuye bar timnia. You can't turn it into 8, because what will happen, right? Delo shakel timnia b'chatzir, because you're not allowed to take more. Here it's not talking about privacy. It's talking about once you make it 8, if your door originally was 4, you can't start making it 8, because then you're going to be tofes 8 by 4 in the chatzir and take away property from the neighbor who thought he owned rights to that space. Aval bar tarte, but if it was 2... then the shvuye bar arba shapir dame, you can make it 4, because anyway you have rights to 4 by 4, no matter what, no matter how narrow your doorway is, you still have rights to 4 by 4. Amrle Rava matze amrle. Rava says, wait, but that only relates to the space of how much space you're taking from the neighbor, but it doesn't relate to the tzniut issue in the nehezek ri'ah. So Rava disagrees and says, matze amrle bepitcha zutra matzina litztenue minach. He says, if it was a pitcha zutra, a small petach, then matzina, I would be able to litztenu eminach, to be tzenua from you. You wouldn't see me, conceal myself from you. But now that you're making it from 2 to 4, already I'm going to have to now be much more careful. So therefore, Rava says, you actually can't make a 2 into 4. Next case, echad lo yasenu shnayim. Now, when I first read this, what did I think it meant? You take one petach, and for some strange reason, you make 2 doors out of it instead of one. That's obviously not what it means, because that would be totally silly. So what are they saying? Let's say you have one big petach, and you want to make, instead of that, the same size, but in 2 doors on different sides of the house. So, you know, different sides that enter into the same chatzir. So it's going to be the same kind of issue, but the reverse. Sava Rami Bar Chama lemeimar, Rami Bar Chama thought to say, bar arba'a, lo yishvuye trei b'nei tarte. If you had it for, you can't turn it into trei b'nei tarte. What does that mean? Two doors, each one two amo. Because what's going to happen then? Instead of getting your 4x4 space, now each two doors gets 4x4. So now you have again an 8x4 space in two spaces, right? As opposed to your 4x4, which your two, which your four originally gave you. So here it's the opposite, right? In terms of which one is works and which one doesn't. But obviously, what's it going to say? If you had an 8, right? So, keep reading. Why not? Because then he's taking a space of 8x4 in the chatzir. But if you had a door that was 8, if you want to take an 8 and turn it into 4 and 4, that works, because anyway you had 8x4 space, and now in front of each door that's 4 amo, you're going to end up with a 4x4 space altogether, 8x4, and that should be fine. You're not making any change. Obviously, again, Amarle Rava, Matzei Amarle, Bechad Pitcha, Matzinitz Tinuim Minach, Betray, Lo Matzinitz Tinuim Minach. I was, when you had only one opening, so I was fine with that. I knew that in this area, I needed to protect my, you know, conceal myself from you. But now you're making an opening on this side, an opening on that side. That's already going to get in the way of my space, of my privacy, and therefore he can prevent him. So same thing. Rami Bar Chama thinks it's all about the space in the chatzir that you're trying to take, and Rava thinks it has to do with Hezek Ri'iya. Aval potechu l'reshut harabim petach k'neged petach. But when there's a reshut harabim, then you can open, if we both live opposite the reshut harabim, then I can open my window opposite your window, or my doorway opposite your doorway, damarleh, because you can say to him, sof, habayit letzinuim, b'nei reshut harabim. You anyway need to prevent yourself from the people in reshut harabim, so therefore, I'm allowed to open my door here. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein osim halal tachat reshut harabim barot shichin u'marot. You can't take a space, you can't start digging underneath reshut harabim to create a well, a ditch, a cave. You can't start digging there because what will happen? People will fall, right? It'll affect people in reshut harabim. So Rabbi Elazar matir kedei sheteha agala mahalechet etu'una avanim. We have seen this before. You can see where it is. Where did we see it? Le'el Kaf Zayin. I also thought we saw this a while back somewhere. We did. I thought it was Baba Kama, I assume. Suma came up in Baba Kama. It doesn't say it. I don't know why it doesn't say it in Masorah Shas. Anyway, so truth is, it could be, it wasn't in Rabbi Lezer's name. It could be, it came up, this concept, though. What does he say? If you, right, think of the sewage, right? We always have these holes in the ground, right? And they cover it up with a metal cover that's very solid. So they say, as long as you create something, you cover it with something that's very solid, that a wagon could walk, could travel on it, and it wouldn't break, if it was tu'unavani, right? Not just a regular wagon, but weighted down with rocks, a very heavy wagon, could pass, that would be fine. Okay, when we get to the Gemara, they're going to say, well, Tanakama doesn't say this, so what does Tanakama hold? Why doesn't Tanakama think that that's sufficient? Remember we talked about the Z's that you have on your... oh, by the way, I realized yesterday that there was something I didn't clearly say. When we talked about the Zizin, and I said people use them for hanging things out, it was dafka in the very narrow one that was less than a tefach that we said there you can't create a chazaka and the neighbor can't complain, and then there was the whole debate there was me who can't complain, and then the... Dafka one that's very narrow is only used for hanging, but a bigger one could be used for other things. And therefore, it's more of an issue, whereas where we expect the neighbor to complain more likely, whereas the one that's used just for hanging things out is less likely that he would complain. However, then there was the whole thing. Can he complain or not? Depended on whether he was worried that you were going to be looking at him or you wouldn't be looking at him. Okay. So it was only related to the very small one. Yeah.
We've also seen Guzistra Oat sticking out into Rishit Harabim somewhere.
Yes, we did. We did. Here it says in on Kaf Gimel we saw it. Right. So now let's say you have a chatzer. I'm sorry. If you have a house and you want to put a balcony or one of these beams protruding out, and then it's going to get into the space of Reshut HaRabim. So you're not allowed to do that. Ela im ratza, if you wanted to, what should you do? And this we saw earlier. Kones l'toch shelo u'motzi. You have to move your property further. You have to basically move your wall further in, right? You don't have to move your whole house. It's not going to be so easy to do that. But take down your wall, move your wall a little closer, and then you can have your balcony or your ziz, beam, protrude out only up until your property line and not actually getting into Rishud HaRabim.
Except that if you move your wall, you're stealing Rishud HaRabim space altogether.
No. You move your wall closer in within your property. What's right? You have a wall, and this thing is protruding, and Rishud HaRabim is here. This is Rishud HaRabim. So what do you do? I'm sorry. Let's do that differently. Your wall borders on Rishud HaRabim, and you have a ziz that comes out. So what do? You move your wall back a few feet, you know, a few inches, whatever it might be, and then your ziz will protrude up until the Rishud HaRabim boundary.
The ziz was on the house and not on the wall, but okay.
Right, the ziz is coming out of the house. It's protruding. Or think of a balcony. It's the most likely. You have a merpeset. So the merpeset is coming out into the Rishud HaRabim, and it's getting in the way of people.
What you're saying doesn't make sense.
Why?
Because if the house is... This is a house, and I put a balcony over here, then I have to move my wall further out to Rishud HaRabim in order for... If my wall is here and my balcony extends to here, I have to move my wall here, meaning that I'm stealing space from Rishud HaRabim.
No, why are you moving your wall there?
Is the balcony...
The balcony is still outside the house. It's off the wall.
Off the wall or off the house?
It's the wall of your house. Well, it's the wall of your house, I assume.
Right, and therefore, if you move...
It's a wall of your house.
Do you
have to move...
I understand what both of you are saying. I see what the problem is, yes.
You have to move the house further in so that anything that protrudes will be within
the
wall of your house. You have to move the wall of your house.
Then the balcony will jut out even more.
No, you have to... You assume that the balcony is of a fixed size. So when you move the wall, you're moving the whole balcony by that much. You're losing house.
Here's my house wall, okay? Now, if I want to have something protrude out, let's say it that way, okay? I can't because that's Rishud HaRabim right out there. So what do I do? I'll put my wall right here inside my room. I'll cut off some of the property of my inner house, and then the balcony juts out. Exactly.
You lose the wall of the house. So you're moving.
I guess it's a matter of how important it is for you to have this balcony. Okay? So, that's why it says imrata. If you really need it, that's the only. I don't think it's a realistic possibility. I think they're kind of saying this is the only thing that you can do. You have no choice. Okay, you're just not allowed to do it. What if though lakach chatzir ubazi zinu gezuz traot? What if you bought a chatzir where there already were zizinu gezuz traot and they were protruding into Rishud HaRabim? Harezo b'cheskata. You can assume that he must have done it legally somehow, and therefore you can remain with the chazakah. It could be he got a special permit to do it. You know, every once in a while, they do give out special permits to do things that they don't allow people to... I don't know if it's so common, but, you know, the guy had protection and he somehow got it through. It's not your responsibility to have to then take that down if you already bought it and it was like that. Okay? Rabbi Ami, now we're going to hear two very interesting stories, okay? Rabbi Ami Havale Ziza, the Havanafik Limavoa. He had a ziz that protruded not into Rishud HaRabim, but into a mavoi. That's obviously... Did I skip? No, I did skip. Sorry. I skipped there. I skipped the first line of the Gemara. V'Rabbanan, what is Rabbanan? Okay, now we have to go back to the original case. Enosim chalal tachar Rishud HaRabim barot shechinu marot. Rabbi Eliezer matir kedei she'agala, right? The heavy agala could go across it. So Rabbanan, what do they hold? If you put a cover on the floor, sometimes it erodes over time and no one will realize that it's eroded and somebody actually might fall in and therefore you can't do it. This, by the way, seems somewhat out of place. It definitely falls more into the Bava Kamma and the boar and all that than here. I don't know exactly why it's here. Ein motzi'in zizin, I guess it's just a matter of you doing things that affect Rishud HaRabim. Ein motzi'in zizin u'gezuz traot. So now we have these two stories. Rabbi Ami hava l'ziza davanafik l'mavoah. So he had a ziz that protruded into a mavoi. Remember what a mavoi is? A bunch of courtyards, right? A bunch of houses open to a courtyard. A bunch of courtyards open to a common alley. And then the alley opens into Rishud HaRabim. So here it wasn't open to Rishud HaRabim like the Mishnah said. It was open into a mavoi. Vahu gavra, and there was another guy, Nami Havale Ziza, he also had a ziz that protruded from his house, but to have a mafik the Rishud HaRabim. Okay? It was going out into Rishud HaRabim. Now, what happened? Okay, whether or not you read this, this obviously is what happened, so I'll read it. B'nei Rishit Arabim didn't like that his ziz was protruding into Rishit Arabim. Atal kameid Rabbi Ami, see, happens before, who else but Rabbi Ami? Amar lei, zil kotz. He says, go cut off your protrusion. Amar lei, bahar mar, nami itle. Itle, I assume it's zize, right? Where is it? Nami itle. Okay, he also had. You also have one. Like, what are you telling me, right? People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, right? What are you telling me I have to get rid of, right? Practice what you preach. So what did Amar lei, didi lemevoa mafik, b'nei mevoa machlin gabai. Machlin. So I, mine opens to the mavoi, and the people in the mavoi are mochel. Machlin gabai. But didach, but yours, levishit arabim mafik, man machel gabach. Yours opens to Rishit Arabim. Who's going to be mochel for you? You can't, you need everybody in Rishit Arabim to be mochel you. And by the way, people aren't all mochel you, people complained. So therefore, I distinguish between mine and yours. Now, you read this story and you think already, it's a little bit, you know, here you have this rabbi who, it's always when you have a leader, right, they always have to be extra careful what they do. And as while it's true, his halachically, technically speaking, was okay, but didn't exactly look so right. Because here the guy comes and says, hey, what are you telling me to do something, right? Even though he had a good answer, it a little bit doesn't look so good. Sometimes you have to keep a higher standard. Rabbi Yanai, now we're going to see a more interesting case. Rabbi Yanai havale ilan hanotele rishit arabim. Okay, so Rabbi Yanai had a tree that was going all into rishit arabim. Hava hu gavra de havale nami ilan hanotele rishit arabim. There was another guy who had a tree that was going into rishit arabim. Atu b'nei rishit arabim havu kam akli lave. So the b'nei rishit arabim started complaining about this other guy's tree, not about Rabbi Yanai's tree. Atu lekame de Rabbi Yanai. He goes before Rabbi Yanai. Amarlei zil ha'idna v'tala machar. He says, listen, go right now and come back tomorrow. Balelya shadar katsye lahahudi day. That night he goes and cuts his tree that's protruding into Rishit Arabim. As he was smart enough to realize, I can't go tell this guy to cut his tree when I myself have a tree that's protruding into Rishit Arabim. So he didn't give him a ruling. He went home, he cut his tree. Lemachar ata lekame. The next day, the guy comes before him. Amar le zil kotz. Says, go cut your tree. Amar le hamar nami itle. He says, but don't you also have something just like that? He knew he had done his homework, and well, maybe not well enough. He should have gotten the day before, but he did his homework. Amar le zil chaze. Go look. E kotz didi kotz didach. E lo kotz didi lo ti kotz a. Go check mine. If mine is cut, then you have to cut yours. And if mine isn't cut, then you don't have to cut yours. Okay? So, this looks a little bit like he's pulling one over on him. On the other hand, what he's doing is he's trying not to get into the situation that Rabbi Ami got into, where the guy said, what about you? And here he really was in the exact same scenario. He couldn't make any sort of distinction.
Not the guy specifically came in front of Rabbi Yanai.
So that's an interesting point I really didn't think about, but I think is totally, totally right, which is both of them. Bimikra came in front of the person who they thought they knew. They obviously had done their homework and they knew that this guy had the same thing and therefore thought it would be okay. Obviously, they're in for a bit of a surprise, both of them. And here, he a little bit tricks him by saying, oh, well, why don't you go check and see if my tree is really protruding or not. Now the Gemara wants to say, well, how could it be that Rabbi Yanai had this tree protruding to Rishit Arabim if it really wasn't allowed? So Meikar my savar, ulavasof my savar. What did he think in the beginning when he thought it was okay that his tree was there? And what did he think at the end when he cut down his tree and told the other guy he had to cut down his tree? Meikavar savar nichaluhu lebnei Rishit Arabim deyatve betule. He thought maybe that people would like having a tree in Rishit Arabim because they could sit in its shade. But once he saw that people were bothered by it, then he cut it down. Remember, the tree doesn't come up in the Mishnah at all. It wasn't one of the cases. So why didn't he say, why didn't he just figure that day when the guy came to him, he could have just told him, listen, you have to cut your tree, and you know I have to cut mine also. Okay, like you've taught me something. So what does he say? Mishum derish lakish, Damar, it's pasuk from Tzfanya, hit koshu shuva koshu, okay, which means gather and then gather again. So what does it mean? Why are there two gatherings here? What do we learn from this? They take koshu shu and they say, learn from it kishot. Kishot atzmecha v'acharka kishot achirim. Adorn yourself and then adorn others. In other words, this is all clearly the point of the story, that rabbis have to, or any kind of a leader, has to hold himself to a higher standard, and if he wants people to do what he says, then he's got to do it himself, and then have them do it, okay? It's not appropriate to say, oh, you do it, and I'll also do it. Okay. Interesting section about leadership. Aval im ratza kones l'toch shelo u'motzi. So, Ibai Lehu, now we're going to talk about this case where you have to move your wall in order to allow your balcony to be protruding only into your own property. Ibai Lehu, kanas velohotzi, ma'u sheyachzor viyotzi. What if you moved your wall, but then you didn't put up the balcony or the beam? Okay, if you thought this case was unrealistic to begin with, right, this is particularly unrealistic. You moved it for that purpose, but then didn't end up doing it. Ma'u sheyachzor viyotzi, are you allowed to... No. Are you no, you're allowed to put up the balcony after that, which is strange. What exactly is the question? So we'll see. Rabbi Yochanan amar kanas motzi. Rish Lakish amar kanas eno motzi. If you already moved it, then once it's moved, it's going to be in your property anyway. You can put the protrusion up later. Rish Lakish says, no, once you moved your wall and you didn't do it, you can't put it up anymore. Amar le Rabbi Yaakov le Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Tachlifa, Ezber alach. I'm going to explain this to you. Lehotz, because it doesn't seem so clear what this is. Lehotzi kolei amalo pliyidi motzi. Everyone agrees you can actually be motzi. Ki pligi lachzir kotalim limkomam. This is what you were saying, Naomi. The real machloket is, even though it didn't sound like that from the beginning, is are you allowed to, let's say you move the wall back inside your property, and then... you want to move it back because you decided, you know what, I really don't need the protrusion. Maybe you realize your house space was too small now and you'd rather have the inside space rather than the outside space. So are you allowed to move it back? Ve'ifcha. And actually, the shitoter flipped. Not only did you misunderstand the case, but or was the case not brought in a very clear manner, but also the shitoter flipped. Ifcha itmar. Rabbi Yochanan amar eino machzir. Rabbi Yochanan is the one who doesn't allow it. Rish Lakish amar machzir. So now the question is, what's at the root of the machloket? Rabbi Yochanan amar eino machzir mishum de Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says what? To amar Rabbi Yehuda, we've learned this also. Meitzar shechziku bo rabim asur lekalkalo. Once I move my wall back in, what happens? Okay, here was the original border along Rosh Huda Rabim. Then I move my wall further in, and I created this protrusion, or let's say in this case I didn't, but I wanted to. So I have, let's say, a meter of space. Okay, let's say it's 1 meter of space in between my original wall and now where I move my wall in. So what happens to that extra meter? Well, for sure, the people in Rosh Huda Rabim are going to start using it. Because it's basically, you know, they're not going to distinguish between whatever my original border was and my new border because the border is basically my wall. So that part became something that's technically my property, but it's part of my property that people in Rishud HaRabim use. So a Meitzar Shechziku Bo Rabim, if you remember we learned, there's a path like on a boundary where people use that space, you can no longer, once Shechziku Bo Rabim, you can't take it away. So if there's a path through your property that people pass all the time, and then you decide, you know what, I want to close this up, you're not allowed to do that. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. So you can no longer move your wall because Hechziku Bo Rabim already. Berish Lakish Amar Machzir. Why? It's not that he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, but he modifies Rabbi Yehuda's statement. What does he say? Hane Mile Hechadele Karavcha. Hacha Haikaravcha. That's only in a place where that's the path for people to get from place to place. And there is no other space for them to walk other than your path or the space they had is so narrow that you have to leave some space. Here, the Rosh Huda Rabim was alongside it. They don't need this space alongside my house, that extra meter. They have the whole Rosh Huda Rabim to walk in. So if they don't need my space, I'm allowed to move my wall back. Okay, so that's the machloket. Since I kind of gave that space to Rashid Arabim, is it then become theirs, even though it's technically speaking my property, but I'm not allowed to then go remove it because they've been using the space? Or do we say, no, that space is not necessary for them because it's not necessary, therefore I don't need to. Lakach chatziru bazizinu gezustraot harei b'chez katan. So if I, remember the case in the Mishnah, if I already bought a chatzir which had zizinu gezustraot that we're reaching out into Rishat Arbi, it can remain with its chizka that it's okay. Amar Rav Huna, nafla ad kedei kach, that if it fell, chozeru bonei otai, you can even rebuild it. Okay? You don't just say, right, because it must be, it was okay, and nobody had a problem, so therefore, even if it falls, I can rebuild it. Meitive, now we have a koshi from a braita. You can't, okay, this is a bizman hazeh, okay, you're not allowed to do all sorts of things, and this is going to lead us to the whole rest of the sugya, which is all about zecher lemikdash. Okay, now that we no longer have a beit hamikdash, we're not allowed to plaster our walls so they look really white. You can't, right? Yana Diyama, my painting. Ve'em mechayrin, you can't make ornaments on your wall. Ve'em mefaychin, I thought that was the ornaments. Like,
plastered with lime, ornamented, or painted. The three.
Plaster, what was the second?
Ornament or paint.
Ornament or paint. I think mefaychin is to paint designs. Okay, all sorts of designs on your wall.
Wallpaper.
Okay, wallpaper, you could say. So, but what does it say in this braita? But if it already had it, then it's okay. So first of all, there's two reasons given why it's okay. One is because maybe you bought it from a non-Jew, okay? And therefore he was allowed to do it, so it's okay. You're not actually doing it, it was already done. The other option is, which is no longer relevant, which is maybe it was from before when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, that's a good one, which obviously is only for a certain time period. Okay. Nafla, but here's the key. If it falls, though, eino chozer boneuta, you're not allowed to. So why in our case, if you buy it and it falls, you're allowed to build the ziz or the gezustra? Here you're not. So they say isur shani. That's an isur. Our case is not an isur. It's just a matter of respect for your neighbor or your rishut harabim that you're getting in the way of people and maybe they'll, you know, and it's okay. But here, there's an isur. Okay, again, how much of an isur is zecha l'churban? That's a good question. But they put it in the category of isur, and therefore you're not allowed to do it because you'll be over on the isur when you rebuild it. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a whole slew of things, zecha l'mikdash. Lo yasur adam et beito b'sid. Okay, just like we saw, you can't plaster your walls. V'mirev b'chol oteven mutar. But if you mix sand or straw into the line into the plaster, it's allowed because already it dulls the color. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Irev bochol harezo tarkseed v'asur. Teven mutar. If you mix chol, that's cement. That's important. That's good. But teven, you're allowed. And therefore, it's asur. But if you mix teven, it's not good for it, and therefore, it's allowed. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, now we get to not exactly things that are asur, but a tfisa about korban, you know, what our attitude is supposed to be after the korban. Kishacharav habayit b'shnia, rabu prushim b'Yisrael, shelo lechol basar v'shelo l'shtot yayin. People stopped eating meat and stopped drinking wine, right? You can imagine the sorrow there was, and they said, okay, that's it. No more wine, no more basar, no more meat. Nitvalem Rabbi Yeshua, amar lehem, v'nai, mipnei ma yetem ochlim basar v'yein etem shurtim yayin. Amru lo, nochal basar shemimenu makrivim agabei mizbeach, v'achshav batel, what, we're going to eat meat that they used to bring sacrifices? We're going to drink wine that they used to bring as the wine libations? And now we can't? We can't do that. Amar lehem, im ken, lechem lo nochal, shekvar batlu menachot. Well, the menachot and the Beit HaMikdash were made of bread. So, can't eat that either. We're made of wheat. Efshar b'peirot. So they said, okay, fine, so we'll just eat peirot. Peirot lo nochal, shekvar batlu bikurim. But wait, we bring bikurim. Efshar b'peirot acherim, so we can eat other fruits that we don't bring for bikurim, right? Because it's only with the shivan amini. Mayim lo nishteh, shekvar batel nisuch hamayim. So he says to him, fine, so don't drink water, because they used to bring water libations. Shatku. Basically, he silenced them, okay? So this is a good, right, about how much are you supposed to... Right, exactly. Kitzoniyut. It's very interesting here. Amar lehem, banai bovo mar lachem, shelo lehitabel kol ikar efshar. I understand you can't say I'm not going to be mitabel at all because nigzerat zera. There were obviously something terrible, tragic happened. But on the other hand, you can't do too much. Tichtiv, Pameira atem neirim, ve'oti atem kovim hagoy kulo. Okay, this is, I don't want to get into the details, but in the time of Nehemiah, everyone decided that you had to bring all the maaser, the truman of maaser, to the Beit HaMikdash, and they would divvy it up there to the kohanim. And then they said, anyone who doesn't do this will be cursed. And then they said, well, doing that, you're going to be gozel Hashem, because people aren't going to give the gifts. You're basically creating this gzerah that ein rov hatzibur yicholim la'amod ba. Okay? So, Ella, kachamru chachamim. So he says to them, this is what you should do. Sad adam et beito besid, umishayer bo davar mu'at. Okay, you can plaster your walls. Just leave over a little bit that's not done properly. Vikama, amrav Yosef, ama alama. Okay, one by one cubits. Amrav Chista, kineged apetach. Rav Chista says, you have to do it opposite the entrance to the wall. This is where people put like an imishkechech, right, opposite the entrance to their house. You can make a beautiful meal, but leave out one thing. Okay, I don't know if you ever heard this before, right? But also, zecher lemikdash, and make a huge meal, but leave over one thing. Mayi amra, papa kasa deharsana, which is some sort of fish, fried fish that they used to have. Okay, some will say whether it's something big or something like something that would be noticeable, or maybe something very small. Exactly where to draw the line is unclear. You can wear all your jewelry, but leave off one thing. It's obviously very complicated because, how is it noticeable what you write? Mayhi, amarav, bat sida, shenemar, imashachech yushalayim. Okay, so wait, bat sida, which is, remind me, it's a hair in her temple. The people, women would remove hairs on their temples, and you should leave the hair on your temple. Okay. Shneamar, where does this all come from? Because it says, Imashkech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yemini, right? We knew this already, even though it didn't say so yet. Tidbak L'shoni L'chiki V'chulei. My Arosh Simchati, why does it say the Arosh Simchati? There's a minhag, I don't know if everybody does this, but under the chuppah, Amrav Yitzchak Ze'efer Maklesh Barosh HaChatanim. Arosh Simchati, so they put some ashes on the head of the chatan. Okay, some people do it on the head of the kala too, but you see here it's only the head of the chatan. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye, Hechi Manachla, where do you put it? B'mkom Tfilin. Shenemar, it says it's a pasuk in Yishayahu. Lasum Lavilei Tzion, Latei Lahem Pe'er Tachat Efer, Shemen Sason, Tachat Ava. Okay, so what is this? Pe'er, right? The Pe'er is what they say, the Tfilin is Lehit Pe'er. So they call it Tfe'eret, so therefore they say, Latei Lahem Pe'er Tachat Efer. Bechol ha-metabel ha-Yerushalayim tzoche ve-ro'e b'simchata, sh'ne'amar simchut Yerushalayim, b'gilu ba, etc. Tanya amar b'yishmael ben Elisha, miyom shachara b'ed ha-mikdash, dinu sh'nigzor al atzmenu sh'lo l'achol basar v'lo l'shot yayin, ela ein gozrin gzera al atzibor, elem kem rov atzibor yicholim la'mo ba, u'miyom sh'pashtal malchut ha-risha'a, right? So that was the same thing, right? That we should have not eaten meat and not drunk wine, except that it's too much for people to handle. ומיום שפשטה מלכות הרשעה שגוזרת עלינו גזירות רעות וקשות, ומבטלת ממנו תורה מצוות. This is a very interesting one. Okay, so now that the Romans came along, I assume it's the Romans, and won't allow us to do these terrible things, and מבטלת ממנו תורה מצוות, ואין מנחת אותנו להיכנס לשבוע הבן, ואמר לה לישוע הבן. Okay, which seems to be the different interpretations, whether this means... Brit Milah, most people think it means Brit Milah. Yeshua ben comes up somewhere else where they say it's the source for Shalom Zachar, some people think. Or maybe the Pidyon Aben. Din hu shenigzor al atzmenu shelo lisa isha ulo li banim. Okay? What does it say? Very right. If they're not going to allow us to do Brit Milah, then how can we have children? Because we're not going to be able to give them the mitzvah of Brit Milah. Now we know that not doing the mitzvah of Brit Milah is chiyuv karet. So how can we do such a thing? So therefore it ends with, now there's a very strange usage of this. Usually what does this mean? It means that if Bnei Israel are doing something b'shogeg, we allow them to do it. We don't tell them it's wrong because we, in a case where we know that they're not going to be able to stand up to the Easter, if we tell them it's Asher, they're going to do it anyway. And therefore, adif that they do it b'shogeg, then do it b'mezid, and we actually shouldn't even tell them that it's Asher. Here it's a little strange, because they're basically saying that if we told people that since there's no Brit Milah, you can't get married, then the assumption is that now they're shogeg, because they think it's okay to get married even though you can't do Brit Milah. That's one way of reading this. However, right, so therefore we can't tell them that it's usher to have children, because you'll end up not doing the mitzvah of Brit Milah, so adith, but they do it for shogeg, and they don't realize how severe this is. Other mafreshim say, no, it's just a weird usage of it, and what it really means is that they just won't be able to stand up to this, and therefore we shouldn't.
It seems like a more, like we're talking about examples of that, you know, where it's saying when the you know, Jewish people can't keep a certain mitzvah, then you, a certain law, then you can't make that law. That's what we're talking about.
Right. So Engos Rim Zera La Tibur Alan Kim Rabbi Tibur Yechulim La Moba, but it's not what it says. It says Mutav Shir Shogim Valyum Zidim. That's what's weird about it. It would have made more sense if that's how it ended. Okay. Now, I didn't look if there's other Girsaot. I wonder if there's other Girsaot that actually don't use this line, because it's definitely a strange usage of that line. But it definitely fits in with the whole mahalach of what we were saying. Yes, exactly. The sentence doesn't really fit as well. It's a very strange thing to suggest that we shouldn't have children because we can't do the mitzvah of Brit Milah, even though Brit Milah is quite up there, but it's a strange thing to say. What about the mitzvah of Puri Arivya? So some people say, well, the mitzvah of Puri Arivya is Shev Al Taseh. Right, you could just not do it. You're not mevatel any isur by not doing it. You're just not being mekayem. Okay, what we're left with is, why did the parak end with all this? So I don't really have a great answer. I didn't have enough time to think about it. I'm open to suggestions. I can think about it for a moment right now. But about this issue of gzeirot she'im rov hatzibur yicholim lamoba, I thought that maybe this has to do with all sorts of neighborly relations. In other words, there's, on the one hand, and maybe this is the way we talked about when Baba Metzia ended, how there's all these laws, and then we ended with, there's, you know, beyond the law. Like, maybe by rights, you have rights to certain things, but you shouldn't always take them. You shouldn't always take advantage of all your rights. And maybe it's the same thing with neighborly relations. You can, you know, I have an example. There's a tree that's really large, my neighbor's tree, and a guy came and said, you know, it's ruining your property, like you're weakening your trees, it's blocking all the sun. But I know that my neighbor's never going to cut down that tree. So should I start up with him? And as maybe I have rights to do it, but do I go that way if I know that that it shouldn't be that I get into a fight with him and he says, I'm absolutely not doing it, when then at that point he might actually have rights and I might have rights to insist that he do it. So I think that there's a level here of also going beyond the law, that don't, it's not just between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mutav Shu Shogim Valyum Zidim, but don't put people in positions where you know they're never going to, everybody likes to live in their private house the way they like to live, and they like to do what they want to do, and open their doors where they want to open them, and even though the neighbor can complain, what did we see in the whole parak? If the neighbor doesn't complain, well then you have the right to it. It's not that it's usher for you to do this in most cases, it's that it might bother someone, but someone, if someone's bothered, you know, they can always get over their botheredness. And maybe that's also what's going on here. That look beyond things. Don't look at the, and like, just like the basar v'yayin, don't look at the exact letter of the law. Oh, it's, it'll be how could we, again, there's no law, but how could we do that? How could, you know, but you can. You have to learn to live in moderation about everything. Don't be the extreme neighbor who bothers you about every single thing and nudges you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, and you're bothering me and you're talking between two and four, and you're, you know, try to be moderate about it and create neighborly relations that people can live with, right?
Maybe that's why
bringing
up Sechel
HaKorban
also, like, you're not going to have, you shouldn't have an imperfect property, you know?
Ah, you're fifth. Things aren't always perfect. Right. I like that. You're also your property itself. Don't, you're saying also the reverse, which is on the one hand, be accommodating as a neighbor, but also within your own house, realize that you can't have the absolute perfection that you want, because we can always strive for perfection, but there has to be always something.
Time.
Right. We don't live in perfect times, and we have to remember that there's more beyond our house and beyond that effect. Yes. Okay. Hadron Allah has karabati. That's a big Hadron Allah. Yes.